You are Locked On Padres. Your daily San Diego Padres podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Padres podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day for Monday, November 28th. As always, I am your host with sometimes occasionally, but certainly not always the most, Javier Reyes. You might be familiar with my baseball-related work at justbaseball.com. Great website. Very fitting name for a website, I might add. Going to be kicking up my production over there soon as the offseason keeps continuing on. Or you might be familiar with my dumb takes on Twitter about all sorts of things, including movies and pop culture. And of course, the San Diego Padres. That's at Javipeno, J-A-V-I-I-P-E-N-O. And thank you for making Locked On Padres your first listen. Hasn't always been the first listen lately. I admit it. The episodes have been a little bit behind, but it's okay. We keep it moving. Today's episode, guys, on top of thanking you all for listening, I would like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great holiday weekend. It was certainly very fun for me. Had a lot of good food. I'm a big fan of stuffing. Big fan of the old pecan pie. Had plenty of that. And I got to see Glass Onion. That's why I'm wearing a certain shirt. For my video listeners, you'll be able to see. Video listeners. My video viewers, you'll be able to see what kind of shirt I'm rocking. All right? The man is a god. A god. A god. Glass Onion, fantastic. Everybody go see it. That's my take of the day. Movies are back. That's what I have to say about Glass Onion. But no, seriously, today's episode, guys, we are talking about the news that Jose Abreu just signed with the Houston Astros. Going to be reacting to that because that is certainly one of the free agents that the Padres have been linked to a lot. Going to talk about that for sure. And then talk about some of the other top dog free agents and kind of a preliminary take on free agency. I don't want to call this my final list of who I want the Padres to acquire this offseason, but just got to talk about those top dogs because it is, while not necessarily as stacked as last year's free agency class, there are certainly some really fun, intriguing names. So let's get into that. Let's do it, everybody. And don't worry. If I take a break, if you hear a pause in between the recording, that is just me having some water. I'm still drinking the tears of Dodgers fans everywhere. It is very refreshing and fantastic. But, unfortunately, a lot of Padres fans, they may be having their own tears right now because Jose Abreu is a Houston Astro, which is very unfortunate. First reported by Bob Nightingale and then was confirmed later on by Ken Rosenthal. It is a chunky boy deal. In fact, it looks like around 3 years, $60 million for Mr. Jose Abreu. And what we're going to be doing also when talking about free agency today is I've done this before. I like looking at Keith Law's top 50 MLB free agents. He does this list every year. And on top of it being, I think, pretty informative and really well written for the most part, it is also something that usually has a couple of things in there that I think are roastable. And I feel like it's fun to kind of point those out and whatnot. So that's what we're going to be going off of when talking about free agents, at least for the foreseeable future. But in terms of Jose Abreu, very good player, 2020 American League MVP, granted in a truncated season. Yeah, this would have been a very fun move for the Padres to acquire him. But if it is that $20 million a year, I can understand the team maybe saying, you know what, don't want to do that. Because Jose Abreu is 36 years old. Last year, 3.9 F4, he was good. Let's be very clear, Jose Abreu was good last year. But I do want to point out something that I thought was well said for Mr. Keith Law in his article over on The Athletic. There are signs of trouble here. Abreu has had more trouble with velocity the last 2 years than he did before, with a whiff rate on fastballs 95 miles per hour or more of 11% through the 2020 season to nearly 16% in the last 2 years. It's surprising when a hitter, especially one without any speed or fielding ability, doesn't lose bat speed as he ages. And we can see that in his performance on fastballs and the huge drop in his power in 2022, which is another really important factor to note. Jose Abreu, if I'm not mistaken, was like a 30 home run type of guy, basically. Let's see here. Yeah, he was pretty consistently up there for power almost every year. And he only hit 15 home runs this year. And that's not because of injury. He played 157 games. But the year before that, 30. Year before that, 19. In a truncated season, he even managed to hit more than he did this past year. 33 in 2019, 22 in 2018. So you get the point, right? Jose Abreu's power production has fallen off. And that does not take away necessarily from me also believing, like many other Padres fans, that I think he would have been a pretty good fit with the Padres. I like the leadership possibilities there. He seems to be a well-respected guy out of the White Sox land. I know a lot of White Sox fans that I follow are really, you know, White Sox fans and media are like, dang, this really stinks. I get it. We weren't going to sign anybody because that's what this front office does. They don't like to spend nearly as much money. But still, he's kind of been their guy. He was kind of like the first guy to really blow up for them in this whole rebuild, retooling that they've had basically for the better half of the last decade, right? He's kind of was their first one, right? He burst out into the scene with that rookie season, hitting 36 bombs. He was awesome. He was awesome. And he was a really consistently good player for a long time. But I do think that the age factor and the three-year potential deal that it acquired to get him, I'm totally okay with the Padres deciding, you know what, let's not go in this direction, right? Because he, like I said, 35 years old, and his strikeout rate, you know, all that stuff on especially fastballs, it's possible that this might not be the best fit for the Padres, considering that they have a power vacuum. Wow, I'm burping a lot right now. They have a power vacuum. They're one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to slugging. And while it's not impossible that Abreu comes back this next year in 2023, shows a little bit more power upside with the Astros, which I'm sure he will because the Astros are just really smart and know how to do things. It is worth pointing out that a batting average guy isn't necessarily someone that the Padres are going to want for sure. Because especially with the, you know, not the great defensive numbers, he's not particularly fast, which, and granted, not many first basemen necessarily can give you all that, but it is still fair, in my opinion, that they decide not to get him. Definitely not one of the ultra free agents either. There's still plenty of other guys out there. And I think one of the things that is really important to note with the Padres is they might not need to immediately sign a first baseman. Yes, Josh Bell is a free agent. I still think, actually, the more I think about it, I'd be willing to give Josh Bell another chance with the Padres. Might have just been a weird drop-off in the second half, but he's been pretty underrated, actually, because of, you know, a variety of things. The fact that he's played for the Nationals and Pirates, right? Like, that doesn't help when you're put up against guys like Freeman and Pete Alonso. Not saying he's better than those players, but those guys play for, like, some really big-time clubs. So I think that's part of the reason why Josh Bell's production over the past few years has been a little bit underrated. But the Padres can move Jake Cronenworth to first base, have Ha-Seong Kim play shortstop. You could have that guy Fernando Tatis Jr., who's supposedly coming back this next year. Maybe he goes to the outfield. Or, ladies and gentlemen, the big latest rumor, the big surprise rumor, Xander Bogaerts is somebody that the Padres would be interested in. And before we talk about Xander Bogaerts, I want to say one thing and just remind everybody I will do this every single year. I might even do it for every single podcast this offseason. I very much do not put too much weight into the X team is interested in X player type of reports. This is not me hating on journalists, which is what a lot of people like to do, and it annoys me a lot of times. That's not that. It's just me saying they're not lying. It's just that baseball clearly is a sport that is run a little bit differently. When you hear these type of rumors in the NBA and the NFL, they feel a lot more concrete, right? While in baseball, it's like, yeah, what's his face? John Heyman reports whatever, and you're like, yeah, that probably is true. This probably happened that one time that they were interested. But things flip so dramatically. I mean, I remember last year that it was between the Padres and the Dodgers for Nelson Cruz. I remember that definitively. And then all of a sudden, he signs with the Nationals, right? I remember definitively that, what's his face? Was it Melanson? No, not Melanson. There was another free agent, Freddie Freeman. There we go. Everyone said the decision's coming within the next 48 hours. Happened a week later, right? So baseball, for a variety of reasons, maybe they're just old-fashioned and they just aren't as communicative with reporters as other sports are, and maybe it's just a little bit wonky, right? Don't put too much weight into these interested in rumors, because then you get some things that are like, oh, the Red Sox are interested in a catcher. It's like, whoa, you're telling me having the worst catching tandem in the league that they might be interested in a catcher? Wow, who would have thought, right? So just keep that in mind when we talk about free agents and when we talk about these reports. I'm going to talk about it because it's fun, though, and it's been something that's reported about Xander Bogaerts. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about a few more of the free agents heading into this offseason. But before we get a little too ahead of ourselves, you know what I mean? You don't want to get too far ahead. It's important to be ahead. That is very important, but not too far ahead, ladies and gentlemen. And that's especially true in the world of betting. You don't want to go too hard on too many different sports at once, guys. You want to make sure you have all the right data. You have all the right information. That way, when you do decide to go all in, you have your odds increased tenfold, ladies and gentlemen. You know who can help you out with that? BetOnline. That's right. BetOnline.net, your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. All right? You got football going on right now. You got the old soccer or the football in the World Cup. You got esports going on, right? Maybe you want to play some early futures bets on the Astros to win the World Series. Not that they made this big splash, right? Maybe you want to do that. All right? Well, go check it out. And they also have podcasts at BetOnline, so you should check that out as well. Fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix in. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's keep it moving, ladies and gentlemen. The Dodger tears, man, they're great. All right, let's continue talking. We're going to talk a lot about Xander Bogaerts right now. Okay, so just for the record, Keith Law's top five free agents. I want to get this out of the way first. He has Xander Bogaerts as number five. What I found so funny about this list is Carlos Correa is currently the top free agent for him. 28 years old. Everybody's probably familiar with him. Then Trey Turner. Then Dansby Swanson. And then Aaron Judge. That is the wildest thing. It is very, very funny that he puts, like, you know, the stat line. He goes 311, 425, 686, / holy bleep, 10.6 R war, and then 11.5 F war. My only beef, I can understand Correa. I can even understand Trey Turner. A little bit younger, more premium positions. The Dansby Swanson thing is crazy to me. Dansby Swanson, good player. Good player. 6.4 F war this past year. More than a good player. My problem, however, is I am just fundamentally very much a sample size guy. And Dansby Swanson for the past few years hasn't been, like, atrocious. In fact, he's been one of the more consistent batters in baseball, I think, in a lot of ways. But I don't know. I just think the jump from 3.4 F4 to 6.4, I don't think that that means that all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, you're a better free agent than Aaron Judge. This past year, 277, 329, 447 / line. He managed to hit in 25 homers. His defense was phenomenal. He's always been a solid defensive player. But, again, he really had, like, an amazing year in his contract year. And that's why I don't think it makes sense that we're rewarding Dansby Swanson for that, but not Aaron Judge. So that's just me. That's my one beef with Keith Law's list so far. I really would prefer Aaron Judge over that guy, just because I feel like it's only been one sample size. But I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to Sir Xander Bogaerts, sample size is not an issue with this guy. Xander Bogaerts has been one of the more steady, bat-to-ball, definitely has power upside type of guys that we've seen in baseball among almost any player. Ever since 2014, his kind of basically his rookie year when he struggled. I remember people who tried to pick him up at the end of fantasy drafts, and he really struggled. He only hit 240 with a 297 on base. He was pretty rough that year. Ever since then, let's just go by F4. 4.6, 3.9, 3.1, 4.4, 5.9, 1.6, and that was in the 2020 season, 4.4, and then 6.1. So he certainly had the best time to have his best season was this year. He's never hit more than, 23 home runs. He's never done that more than once. He hit 23 in 2021 and then 33 in his 2019 season, which was great. The thing with what boosted Xander Bogaerts in terms of F4 this year was his defensive stuff. Ultimate zone rating, made more outs above average, all that stuff. My thing when judging defense on players, I don't have necessarily all the numbers in the world to back this up, but I don't think that defense is something that is as much of a lock as people make it out to be. And I think that that is important when judging free agents for me. I think defense is certainly a little bit more of a constant than, say, a player's offensive abilities, that tends to fluctuate a little bit more, right? Guys might just lose power, they're getting older, right? I get that, but I don't like pegging in guys for defense. Good example is Carlos Correa, Mr. Keith Law's first guy on his free agency list. Great player. But I'm just saying, his defensive stuff, I mean, if just immediately when you look at Fangraphs, defensive rating went down by 12 points. He did not have a positive defensive run save metric this year. Carlos Correa was still very good this year, 4.4 F4. He was still good, even with all that. But I don't like assuming that the defense is always going to stay. He's very, very good as a shortstop. But I don't like assuming that. So when we're talking about Bogarts here, the same thing has to be assumed, which is that he's probably an above average, slightly above average defensive player at best. At best. That's what I think. And again, he could be awesome for the Padres. He's certainly not going to be a liability there, I think is what I would say is important, right? But there are some vibes here where it's like, hey, he's not making as hard contact as he usually does, right? As evidenced just by the 15 home runs, right? He didn't necessarily do that. But what I do like is not a high strikeout guy, only 18.7%. His lifetime average is, why can't I find it? Is it, what is it, like 20%? Hold on, folks. Hold on one second. I hate looking at Fangraphs while I'm recording. Looks like it's about 18.9% as his career average. So he's not a high strikeout guy, which I think is really important when judging if someone's going to fall off completely, right? I think Xander Bogaerts would be fun. The report is basically that they would move Jake Cronenworth to first. Ha-Seong Kim would become a super utility player, potentially. That could play multiple positions. He can maybe move to second if they need him to. That would be cool. Hey, every now and then we've seen that he can fill in for Manny when Manny needs a day off, which, granted, isn't a norm because Manny Machado is a king who does not need rest, apparently. But the other big thing that would happen is Tatis would potentially go to the outfield. This would solve a couple things. And I know that in theory, the Padres, it just doesn't make sense that shortstop, when they have both Kim and Fernando Tatis, that's the thing they want to, the direction they want to go in. But that's what's so fascinating about this offseason for the Padres is that you either just get a Josh Bell type or you just put Tatis in the outfield, Kim at short, and vice versa, what I just outlined before. A lot of interesting possibilities, and I'm not quite sold on any. I will say that Xander Bogaerts probably going to be a more expensive option, as Keith Law also notes here, about a $30 to $35 million player, maybe. In those first few years. It might be a upfront contract, which would be cool. I wouldn't mind if the Padres were to say, we'll pay you $35 million in these first few years, which are supposed to be his prime years, versus later on down the road when he potentially slips a little bit. So we'll see. And that happens all the time. Teams backload contracts. It's totally cool. It's fine. It works out. It's tricky, man. It's tricky. I think that with Bogaerts, it is easily the most fun move that the Padres can make this offseason. I think you could maybe say pitching if they go after Carlos Rodon, who's number 9 on Keith Law's list. Maybe. Wilson Contreras would be very fun, but I am not interested in Wilson Contreras at all. I actually think Wilson Contreras is my number 1 free agent that I am not interested in. 3.3 F4 this past year. Sure, he's like the best catcher or the second best catcher in baseball, but I haven't seen enough from Wilson Contreras to suggest that the Padres need to do that right now. You still have Nola, and most importantly, you have Luis Campizano. There's a potential above-average guy that you have waiting in the wings that you don't give a chance, the Padres do. So I'd much rather do that instead of paying for a catcher who, I mean, we just saw what happened with Yasmani Grandal, right? That dude was awesome, and he stinks now. So, like, I'm just saying. So that's my number 1 free agent that I'd like the Padres to stay away from. Just because I think it's too pricey and it's a position that they potentially can get some value out of for a lot less in Mr. Campizano. I'd rather take the chance on that. Because also just paying high for catcher has just never been my thing. It's tough. And even Dennis Lynn actually wrote today. And I didn't get a chance to read it, but the headline is that the key to Padres' offseason could be acquiring more depth than star power. And the picture that they have headed there is Joey Gallo, right? So that's kind of what I wanted to get into as well. I think that the Padres, I said this back when Juan Soto stuff started happening. The Padres don't need stars. And I know that a lot of people, a lot of fans, they become restless. They say, well, why are we prospect hugging? All right. You don't know what these guys are going to be. And I agree. If it were the Padres of old, the Padres of old would prospect hug to oblivion. And then you have Andrew Kashner coming out and he's no good. You have Everett Cabrera who comes up and he's fine, entertaining, but not that good of a player. Certainly very much enjoyed him in fantasy baseball, though. What do you have, like 50 steals that one year? Something crazy like that. Maybe 30. I don't know. I'm probably overstating it. But I get that. The problem is that the Padres have shown that they have stars already, right? So when you have Soto, when you have Tatis, when you have Manny, and if you want to go on the pitching side of things, he's definitely past his prime. Maybe not definitely, but, you know, Darvish, that's still a star. Joe Musgrove, he's a light star. Maybe not necessarily a super-duper guy who's going to have a 2.5 ERA for the whole year, but the Padres have stars. So instead, they should be looking to add some tertiary pieces, right? Look at some other teams out there that had success. You can even go to Cincinnati. They gave up Jesse Winker, and instead they had Brandon Drury be infinitely more valuable for them, and then they flip him for some stuff from the Padres. So keep in mind that that isn't the only way out. Some guys that Dennis Lynn brought up on this list, Jose Quintana. I'm a big fan of that guy as well. I think he could be a really interesting guy. 2022 maybe was a little bit fluky, right? He didn't give up as many home runs as he usually does. But as a guy for this Padres team that already has Snell, Darvish, Musgrove, Martinez, right? Like, I would be totally cool with him being a potential fifth starter for the team. I think that that's totally cool, right? Then he brings up Zach Plesac. That's another interesting one. And the Guardians are always willing to move pitchers. So that's another interesting one. He puts Gallo on here. He puts Jesse Winker on here. He puts Max Kepler on here, right? There's a lot of interesting pieces. My number one thing I'd recommend for everybody is not to just put all your eggs in one basket, because this is the same sort of scenario that happened last year, right? I remember every damn day it was sign Schwarber, sign Castellanos. Who else was a free agent last year? Sign Freddie. Right, you had those pictures of him hanging out with Tatis' kid because he's such a fan of, or no, hold on, his kid hanging out with Tatis because his kid was such a big fan of Tatis, and everyone said, Freddie to San Diego and all these things, right? I just think that what we learned is that that's not the only way, and since the Padres have already hit on their stars, on their super-duper stars, three potential MVP candidates in their lineup, I just don't see a need to go all in, right? It would be fun for Xander Bogaerts, but that's a potential 6 or 7 year deal. You know, yes, you're going to have some salary clear up from Snell and Darvish over the coming years, but do you really want to do that? Do you really want to lock in a shortstop when you have potentially two other guys that could play that position? I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing that I want to do. That being said, though, I outlined, if there is a guy that you want to do that, it's Bogaerts. He's been there. He's had big hits for a really hard team to, you know, necessarily perform for, right? The Red Sox is not an easy, necessarily fan base to perform for, which is can be said for plenty of other teams. But, you know, he's been a productive player for a very long time. And that I really like. This is a guy who could even be a fringe Hall of Famer if he keeps up the way he's been playing for his whole career. I mean, he's got in total, what, how much F4 does he have right now anyway? He's got, he's only has 15. No, wait, no, I was looking at Wilson Contreras. That this guy could be a Hall of Famer someday. I mean, he's got 34.2 F4. You know, he's 29 years old, right? Like, it's possible if he just becomes this guy who hits for a good average, has a decent WRC plus of around, like, 115 to 120. If he just does that, like, every year, folks, you could be looking at a potential sneaky Hall of Fame guy. He ain't as much of a guy as, say, Manny, but I still think that's worth looking into for the Padres. Although, I just wanted to emphasize again that that is not the only route for them to take. In fact, I have a personal favorite free agent that I'd be very interested for the Padres to go after. And it's not necessarily someone that you might think, but it is one that longtime listeners of the show will be familiar with. Before I say exactly who that is, though, let me just tell you guys to check out something that, unlike defense sometimes in baseball, right? Unlike some of these other things that fluctuate up and down and back to right and forward and side to side, you know what's consistent at keeping you safe? Simply Safe. Great name, right? It's fantastic. All right. And you know what's the big thing here, guys? It's holiday time. You want to be safe during the holidays. You want all of your Christmas, you know, gifts and goodies for your kids or for your friends or for your partners or whoever, your family, whatever. You want to keep that stuff safe, especially over the holiday season, guys. And guess what? Our friends over at SimplySafe.com, they've got you covered with a 50% off offer. That's right. Fantastic. Fantastic. And it works, man. I just love the safety of mind. They've got people on call 24/7 to help you out. If there's a burglary, if there's any sort of alarm that trips, they've got you covered, man. They really do. And I love that a lot. And they can alert the proper authorities for you. They've got, like, you know, remote stuff that you can do to turn things on and off just in case you have a guest who comes in there and they're like, oh my God, the lasers, they just attacked me and now my arm's gone. I'm just kidding. This isn't Over the Hedge or Avengers Tower, right? Like, don't worry. They're not. It's not that crazy. But seriously, though, they keep you safe and give you a really good, safe peace of mind, I should say. So shout out to Simply Safe. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I, Javier Reyes, can recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. Biggest discount of the year. I mean, yeah, 50% off. I mean, yeah, it sounds like it's their biggest of the year. simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know what I mean? All right. Let's continue to talk about these free agents. One last thing on Bogarts. I forgot to mention the defensive volatility stuff. I just want to bring up Carlos Correa, like I mentioned, not the best defensive numbers this year that he's ever had. Juan Soto went from being in the top 99th percentile in outs above average to the bottom 1 percentile in outs above average. You saw what happened to Tatis a little bit last year. I don't think defense is as big of a guarantee and something that can be worked in as a, like, hey, yeah, his bat isn't good, but he's got the defense, so he's going to be good. I don't like doing that. I really don't. I think that there's something to be said there for defense, that it does fall off a little bit more than people probably realize. I think my favorite free agent for the Padres this offseason, it's a little bit of a weird one. I've got a couple. I really like Tyler Anderson. Didn't they re-sign him? Give me one second. I think the Dodgers actually re-signed him. Out of pitching, I do like Quintana, because with this specific team, I think it's possible to get Jose Quintana on a decent deal that isn't that pricey. And he's going to be like the fifth starter on the team. That's awesome for a fifth starter. And yes, before you say anything, I get it, right? I get that some of you may be saying, well, Javi, you said that Manaea was a great deal last year because he would only be the fifth starter. Yes, I did, but I still stand by it. Manaea as a fifth starter was an incredible move. Sorry that I didn't realize that he would decide to be absolutely abhorrent in the role. All he had to be was okay. I'm still mad about that. Shouts to Mike Clevinger, by the way. Signed with the White Sox. Forgot to mention that. 1 year, $12 million. Wishing him the best. AL Central is where he succeeded the last time. Decent flyer, I think, for teams that need starting pitching. I think, because he's been good before. But, ooh, man, let me tell you, aside from just a flyer, I have no evidence to suggest that Mike Clevinger will be good. Anyway, my favorite free agent, I think, for the Padres this offseason is, once again, my boy, former New York Mets outfielder. The guy who nobody knew what was going on with him for the longest time in the offseason. Nobody had any idea. Everyone was like, I don't understand what's going on with this guy. And then all of a sudden it comes out, oh yeah, he got hurt. Michael Conforto, age 30, and in Keith Law's top 50, he did crack the top 50 of Sir Keith Law's rankings. Let's see what he had to say. Conforto's decision to decline the Mets' qualifying offer, which would have been a 1 year, $18 million plus deal, looks disastrous in hindsight. He hurt his shoulder in January and had to have surgery in April that ended his season before it began. It was a questionable decision at the time, as he was coming off the worst year of his career, a sub-2 WAR season where he didn't make enough hard contact for a corner bat and got way too pull conscious. He's a high OBP guy, you know, I'm a big fan of the OBP, who should show average power and profiles fine defensively in either corner. At this point, he's probably looking at a 1 year deal to prove he's healthy and that the 2021 performance wasn't a sign of decline. He is one of the more, as Keith Law stated, I cannot believe he declined that offer And then I don't know what happened there. I'm wondering if something's going to come out that, like, he declined it and then messed himself up literally the next day. And that's why people freaked out. But for me, I really like the Power Guys. From 2017 to 2019, 27 homers, 28 homers, 33 homers. And yes, he was messy in 2021. I get it. But even still, had a really good on-base percentage, and even still had an above-average WRC+, and he can play both corner outfields. So if the Padres do not have Jerickson Profar, who's a free agent, if they do not bring him back, right, you could stick Conforto there. And if Tatis isn't playing in the outfield, and they don't do the Bogarts thing, or Kim, or whatever, he could also go in right field, which I think is great. And heck, I bet you the guy can even play center. I just feel like a one-year buy-low opportunity on Michael Conforto would be awesome. He gives the Padres what they need with the power. I think it's going to come back. I actually think it was a little bit fluky. His BABIP was really low, if I'm not mistaken, which I don't have in front of me. He had a 276 BABIP in 2021, which was lower than his career average for sure, and was lower than his usual averages. I just think that he got a little bit unlucky. I really, really do. I think this guy got unlucky. I think he had a poor season. But so did the rest of the Mets that year. Let's keep in mind, one of the top F4 players in baseball, Francisco Lindor, he had a down year, right? Jeff McNeil, a dude who was literally only known for batting average and on base, no power whatsoever. That guy forgot how to hit for a whole season. The entire Mets roster was weird in 2021. I'm not saying you can easily translate that and transfer it onto that's why also Conforto was poor. I'm just saying that these things can be fluky. And what I see is a guy who's hit for a lot of power before, who is certainly not a liability defensively. What if this guy, you're getting what you kind of wanted, Padres fans wanted from Nick Castellanos or Schwarber, but at a less price and certainly less of a liability in the outfield? It is, like Keith Law mentioned, it would probably be a one-year deal. There are some other guys like your Michael Brantley's that are a lot more proven. There's Kevin Kiermaier who's out there, who's a great defensive player, who I want to stay away from because I don't want to have another defensive player on this team that stinks offensively in Kevin Kiermaier. We already have that in Trent Grisham, but you've got him. You've got, what's his face? You've got Mitch Haniger out there. That's an interesting player. You've got, who's the last one? There's one more outfielder. Blanking on his name. Let me see if I can find him real quick. Tyler Anderson, Josh Bell. Andrew Benintendi. That's the other one. Andrew Benintendi, who has gotten progressively better at just making contact, just being a really good contact guy, being a solid defender, might not cost that much for him either, but it's going to be tough because I actually think that Benintendi is going to get a little bit overpaid by someone. But for me, those are the guys, man. I really like that idea. I really like Michael Conforto for this Padres team. And even Mitch Haniger. Mitch Haniger, I will say, not nearly as good defensively. He can be a little bit libelous there. And more importantly, he's injured like all hell, right? That guy is injured literally all the time. But he's been shown to be very clutch and one of the more underrated power bats in baseball. So those are my guys, man. And I'm ready to die on that hill. I think Mitch Haniger or Michael Conforto would be fantastic, especially with a preference for Conforto. He's going to have a lot to prove. And if anything, missing this past year, maybe he's had some time to heal. Right? We've seen before that players, when they kind of have this little bit of a year off, I'm not saying that Michael Conforto is going to be the Justin Verlander of hitters this offseason, but I'm also not saying that, right? Michael Conforto is my number one. I really do believe that. I think this guy had a really unlucky year. I think that the BABIP gods did him in. I think that the Mets in general were really messy and whatnot. But the fundamental ability for him to take pitches and to walk did not go away, right? Something that you saw with Luke Voit was his strikeout rate went up every single year, and especially with the Padres. So there were some signs. While with Conforto, it really does look like Michael Conforto was one of those guys who just can't really overanalyze it that much, but just had an off year, right? And that happens. We saw that happen with Jake Cronenworth. Hopefully, it was just an off year with Jake Cronenworth this year when it came to his bat. So for me, that's where you go. You give him a one-year deal, and then you go out and say you decide, all right, if we really hate, Luis Campizano this much, maybe you make a trade for Sean Murphy. I doubt it. It's going to cost too much for that guy. Other teams want him, and the Padres don't have any farm anymore. But you can go after him. You can go after Josh Bell if you want. Just give him a little bit of a deal to stay at first base. There's ways to do this. And remember, opportunities present themselves down the line. This past offseason, all of you yelled at me about Castellanos, and then Juan Soto became available, right? Unpredictability combined with a low cost, I think, is why Conforto and what's-his-face make really good options. And not to mention, I even like David Peralta out of Tampa. Well, he went to Tampa then, you know. But that's a decent player, right? Like, he's okay. Maybe, like, you might even get him for, like, a year and less than $10 million. I'm just saying, I really do think that no team should be discouraged by this Jose Abreu thing, especially the Padres. I know, but do not look at that. There are some really intriguing free agents at the bottom of this list. Keith Law has Gene Segura at 42. Gene Segura, very consistent player. He just didn't play a lot this year because he got hurt. But he's a hitter's hitter. I am shocked that the Phillies didn't keep him on the deal, the player option that he had. Is that a red flag? Maybe. Or maybe it means that they're trying to bring in somebody else. Maybe that's what they're doing with Segura. But to me, Gene Segura, like, go look up his Fangraphs page. Very consistent player when he does play. Even if not fantastic. Hopefully you guys agree with me. Xander Bogaerts, all these names, man. I can't wait. I'm so thrilled that the offseason is here and we're just talking about all this stuff. We're going to continue talking about the rest of the free agents and maybe even talk a little bit more about Conforto as time goes on. But unfortunately, time for today's episode is up. All right? Let me break down what you guys can look forward to for this podcast. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking to my buddy Ryland Stiles. We were supposed to do a Thanksgiving draft, but he bailed on me. What can I say? The man is... He's unreliable. You know what I mean? You don't know what you're going to get out of this man, right? He's kind of like the Tatis of the Locked On MLB Network, dare I say. The big goober. We're going to be talking about just general rule changes and what to expect for this upcoming season. That's going to be a lot of fun. Wednesday, going to continue back with my player review series talking about the catching position. That should be a lot of fun because it was not fun watching that catching position. So maybe I'll rant a little bit about that. And then, what is it, Thursday? Don't know. I think I have some crossovers planned, hopefully. I was going to do a crossover with the White Sox host until it was announced that Jose Abreu actually wasn't going to be signing with the Padres. But lots of cool stuff up ahead. Favorite moments, other favorite free agents. Guys, it's we're back. Locked On Padres is back, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you this time, it's back. And I hope the rest of you had a fantastic holiday weekend as we gear up for December. Let me know in the comments what you think. Who are some interesting free agents that you would like the Padres to go after? Maybe even trade targets this offseason, because it's going to be a fun one for sure. But with that all being said, that about does it, ladies and gentlemen, for today's edition of the Locked On Padres podcast, the only pod that may be better than the Padres themselves. Remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Follow the show on YouTube, Locked On Padres on YouTube, if you want to see the sick shirt that I'm rocking today. I might even rock it for multiple days. We'll have to see. And until next time, stay safe. And of course, stay faithful. My fire faithful homies. Take care.